Visit NHL.com for the latest stats, scores, news, and video highlights. NHL.com. If it's hockey, it's here. Now back to This Week in the NHL with your host, Sam Rosen.
Thank you very much. You know, the players on teams change from year to year. Coaches change. Sometimes the front office has been restructured. But if you're a fan of the Detroit Red Wings, there's been one longtime familiar presence at every game. Our Doc Emrick of New Jersey Devils Television, NBC and Versus, has the story of public address announcer Bud Lynch.
Detroit Pony 55, Nicholas Cromwell. 2 minute minor for hooking called at 1 minute 11 seconds.
So it's been 58 years from 49 till now, and it's always a pleasure to work the PA games.
From Alex Delvecchio to Nicholas Lidstrom, from the Olympia to Joe Louis Arena, from the dead things to the near dynasty of the late 90s, Bud Lynch has seen all the highs, lows, and in-betweens of the Detroit Red Wings for the last half century. And it's his voice that's informed a couple of generations of Wings fans.
Third goal of the playoff, 96, Thomas Holmgren.
I came home from Canada after World War II, after doing the Windsor Spitfires. They sent me to a training camp at Sault Ste. Marie in 49. And then when I came back, Jack Adams said, well, give the one-armed guy a chance at the microphone. So the tryout lasted 25 years.
Francis Joseph James Lynch got his start with the Red Wings shortly after losing his right arm in combat with the Canadian forces in World War II. He was named the team's radio play-by-play broadcaster for the 1949-50 season. It's a job he was well prepared for.
I grew up in Hamilton, Ontario. My early high school days in Hamilton, I worked with Percy LeSueur, who was a great goalkeeper way back when, and he was a sports director at the station. Did the Hamilton Seniors that year with Percy, and it was kind of interesting in the old Barton Street Arena. So I had a little sampling of hockey then, and then I came down to Windsor, and they put me doing junior hockey, the Windsor Spitfires, for 2 years under Jimmy Skinner. And then when they talked me into coming to the States, they talked me into coming to Detroit to WWJ. It was going into television then. And so I come over here, and that's when Jack Adams said, give the one-armed guy a chance.
His timing couldn't have been better.
The game is over. Detroit wins the Stanley Cup.
Well, I think my thrill the first year, here's an Army major, now an American, working Red Wing hockey in 49 and 50, and they win a Stanley Cup that first year. Just couldn't be any better. Rookie at the right place, the right time, the Irishman was lucky.
In those days, the media was often considered part of the team. Lynch became close to some of the game's greats.
You got to know them pretty well in those early days. The players on every team were outstanding. The Milt Schmitz, the Bellevaux, the Rocket Richards.
But there was one who stood out.
There's only one, Gordie Howe, to me. Saw him when he was 18 years of age, and his career was just an amazing thing. Gordie was an inspiration to a lot of people.
Most hockey fans remember Howe as number 9. But Lynch remembers how he got that number.
We're coming back from a road trip. Gordie had number 15. The trainee said, Gordie, you're going to take number 9 next week when we're going to Montreal. Gordie said, well, I was just proud to have that jersey I'm wearing right now. He said, you want number 9, you get a lower berth.
Long train trips were just one of the reasons for the togetherness that was common in the NHL in those days.
We had a camaraderie, which was, I think some teams had it, but Detroit had it in particular. When we take road trips on the train, Jack Adams would have the broadcasters, Al Negra and myself, the writers and the photographers on the train. We'd hear Jack snoring and Tommy Evans snoring. We'd go to the smoking lounge with the boys after a game and listen to how they're going to recap what they're going to do when they got to Detroit on Sunday.
He remained the radio voice of the Red Wings until 1975.
I felt it was time to hang up the microphone, and Alex Delvecchio became general manager, and he asked me to be his PR director, so I became director of public relations for 10 years. I retired a second time, went in the Hall of Fame in Toronto in 85.
But Detroit owners Mike and Marion Ilitch refused to let him retire in peace.
Mike and Marion sent my wife and I at the time to Hawaii for 3 weeks. When I got back, Marion called me, and I just wanted to thank her very much. And Mike, she said, well, why don't you go to the microphone, do the PA, and practice so you get it right?
He's been getting it right for Wings fans since 1982. In contrast to the bombastic game presentation that's become common around the NHL, Lynch remains a welcome throwback.
Penalty number 5, Nicholas Lidstrom. 2 minute minor for a hooking.
Well, I tell you, to be associated with hockey is a privilege. You don't want to wear your welcome out. Even as a broadcaster, I made sure that I lived up to the tradition. You're a homer, but you can't be a favorite.
At 91, Lynch is in his 59th season with the organization, still taking it one game at a time.
Well, as Mike and Marion have said, each Christmas we get together a little party. Your voice is going to keep holding up, bud, so keep hanging around.
Now, fans, will you please rise? Maybe we suggest you remove your hat. The U.S. National Anthem.
It's always a pleasure to work a Detroit Red Wings game and have Bud Lynch come up to me in the press box, shake my hand, and welcome me to Joe Louis Arena. Thanks to Doc Emrick and producer Howie Sylvester for that special feature on a Red Wings fixture, Bud Lynch. There's much more to come on this week's show, including our off-ice conference reports and my talk with Pittsburgh Penguins defenseman Sergei Gonchar. Coming up next, Jim Fox and Steve Coates face off. This week in the NHL on Westwood One continues after this.